Okay, we're ready to begin. This is research presentation number two. My name is Jan Larson. I'm a director with the Rogers Hornsby chapter. We'd like to welcome you to SABR 44. The first presentation in this room today is Framing of Experimental Medical Procedures in Baseball, and it'll be presented by Coral Marshall.
Good morning, everyone. As Jan said, my name is Coral Marshall. I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of Alabama, so roll tide. Thank you for making this your first presentation of SABR 44. I really appreciate all these smiling faces in here. We're going to talk about experimental medical procedures in baseball. And just to kind of preview the ones we're going to look at, we're going to talk about Tommy John surgery, Curt Schilling's tendon procedures, Bartolo clone stem cells, and Alex Rodriguez's OrthoCline procedure that he had done in 2011. All right, so first a quick review of literature. Okay, so if we go back and look at the Tommy John surgery literature, the UCL literature, the first academic paper written on that in a medical journal was in 1974. It was called The Ulnar Collateral Ligament Injuries of the Thumb in Athletes. And you see, I'm sure, a very famous name in there. Dr. James Andrews helped write that paper. And also a paper in 1968 on actual ulnar collateral ligament surgery, which is now commonly referred to as Tommy John surgery, which was written by Dr. Joe there. All right, so UCL today, right? This has become so prominent lately that Dr. James Andrews felt the need to write a position statement on that and answer frequently asked and commonly misconstrued questions about Tommy John surgery. And there you can see his sort of statement and his feelings on this, and he calls it an epidemic. So that kind of got me wondering about how did this go from something that had never been done before, something totally experimental that we didn't know if it would even work, to something that one of the founders of this surgery felt the need to call an epidemic recently. All right, as I mentioned, I'm a communications scholar, so I'm going to bore you with a little theory. I'm going to use framing theory in order to look at this. Irving Goffman, who's a sociologist, was the first one to present this theory in 1974. A frame is the lens we see the world through. So us being baseball fans, we see things differently than a football fan might see something. Football fan might see aggression as totally normal part of a game, whereas a baseball fan might think it's excessive. So Gitlin says that in the media, we have different frames, and that journalists use selection, emphasis, and exclusion in order for us to orient the way we see the world. So if a journalist chooses to select something or not select something, that's a conscious choice that someone's making. The emphasis or the repeated use of this term, phrase, or topic is another way that we frame things. And exclusion, choosing not to cover something in the media, is also a choice. Finally, Entman in 1993 says that a frame is a way we make things more salient. All right, framing in sport. We commonly use framing in sport to discuss gender, to discuss race. It can be used to discuss medical issues, for example, AIDS and HIV in athletes. There have been papers written using framing theory to discuss Magic Johnson, to discuss Arthur Ashe, and finally, medical tourism, which we're going to talk about. So it's important that we know this definition. It's travel across international borders for healthcare. All right, so what is the problem? Right? Why do we need to think about experimental medical procedures? Why do we need to think about the way they're framed in the media? Well, for all the advancements we've made in medical terms, we can't entirely predict or prevent injuries. And that's a frustrating mystery, according to Payne. So our big question picture is, okay, we can't predict when injuries are going to happen. We might not be able to prevent them entirely. But using the way that media has looked at things like Tommy John surgery, can we maybe predict how 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, we might see something like Alex Rodriguez's knee procedure or Bartolo Colon's shoulder procedure? Can we use what the journalists say in order to kind of use their tactics against them and see if we can find any patterns in that? Also, another really important question, at least to me, is it okay for athletes to engage in medical tourism and or experimental procedures at home? Is there any kind of difference there? So we see that experimental procedures do go from experimental to mainstream, right? And how does this happen? These are the big, big questions that we're going to ask. So for my method, I use an inductive content analysis. For those who don't know, content analysis means that you go through all the articles written on a given subject, and you kind of count the number of times you see a certain word, or you look, in my case, at the different kinds of frames that were there. I found newspaper articles through ProQuest Historical Database and ProQuest in general, and these would search between 20 and 56 databases given my search terms. I also used online Google searches. So my coding frames were informative. Does this tell me what the procedure was? Does it tell me anything about how the procedure was done? Is it experimental, saying this person is crazy to be trying this? Or was it other, just a general thing, Tommy John had surgery? All right, so like I said, I used ProQuest Historical, and my first data collection I decided to do was to look at Dr. Job in 1974. This only yielded 18 original articles. So 19 articles popped up, only 18 of them were original. That was my first indication that I was going to find something very interesting from a communications perspective. So Tommy John surgery, as I mentioned, is the first experimental surgery we're looking at. That's Dr. Frank Job, as we've discussed. So my first research question was, will articles in 1974 referencing Dr. Job focus on UCL, and what frames will we see around the articles? Again, our choices were informative, experimental, or other. Well, 22% of the articles that were published in 1974 that referenced Dr. Job did talk about UCL specifically. 17% of those I classified as informative. I didn't have another researcher working on with me on this, so I don't have any sort of numbers to tell you about intercoder reliability. But in my classification, I can tell you that there were 17% that were informative, and only 5% were classified as experimental. I thought that's really weird, because that's only one article. Other interesting results, 61% of the articles about Dr. Job did talk about Tommy John, and 28% of the articles about Dr. Job referenced Tommy John in the headline that year. What did Dr. Job say? Well, Dr. Job was really realistic. He wasn't saying this is crazy. He wasn't saying this is new or novel. He was just saying, we'll know when we know, and we'll see what we see, and that's what we're going to find. And I thought, that's so weird, because I cannot imagine that happening in today's media. So now what? Well, we need more data, because looking at 18 articles isn't really going to tell us anything. So we're going to look about Tommy John himself. So between 1974 and the entire year, Tommy John and surgery only yielded 26 unique results through ProQuest Historical Database. So here are my research questions. You can read them. It's about Tommy John and his surgery. What frames are we going to use? And I was curious, are we going to talk about UCL by name when we're looking in these sports articles? This is what I expected. I thought that we were going to see things like, don't judge me, this, I'm not crazy. Well, that didn't get published until 1976. So in 1974, the worst things got were people saying, this is a question mark, it's serious. And again, that's not language or frames that I would have expected to see around an experimental procedure. So here we can see the percentage of frames that we used. And only 12% of the total articles, I realize those numbers don't actually add up. Some articles, I should concede, were double-coded, which means that they could be classified as both informative and experimental. So only, 18 of the total articles didn't even fall under any of these categories. So I thought that was very interesting. More interesting and perhaps more problematic, back in the 1970s, no articles mentioned UCL by name. Same search results with Tommy John and surgery. In 1975, we only got 18 results. In 1976, Tommy John comes back and we get 44 results. It's a little bit more data. Here we go. Here's an example of what we see in 1976. Surgery on John is first of a kind. So what we're realizing, or what I'm realizing as a communication scholar, is what I thought I was going to see in 1974, I'm not seeing until 2 years later. So I find that very interesting. Right, and his 1974 injury forced a unique operation. I don't know that the word miracle really means, said Job. Again, these are the kinds of frames that I expected to see, these sort of experimental frames in 1974, but we didn't see till 1976. So what about now? Well, Tommy John surgery, and I'm sure a lot of people don't like him, but there's my favorite player, Brian Wilson. It's an epidemic, as we've discussed, and we see so many Tommy John surgeries. So what is this transition? Well, it's what I'm finding is it's less a shift in the types of frames we use and more a shift in the amount of coverage we have. This has progressed so much that it went from under the radar in 1974 to being judged in 1976 to going to need an app to try and help prevent it. So that's the app that Dr. James Andrews recently released. So widely accepted that we have articles on Fox Sports, CBS Sports, Detroit Free Press News, MLB.com, and Sporting News just covering Jabba Chamberlain's tattoo. Right? So we are going to move to our next experimental procedure. This is Schilling tendon procedure. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Happened in 2004, right? Never done before, never done since. That's a real experiment. So we did Curt Schilling in surgery in the year of 2004. That yielded 1,913 results. So keep in mind, we're going from less than 20 about Tommy John in 1974 to almost 2,000 about Curt Schilling in 2004. So here's the kind of informative articles that we have. He has a dislocated tendon in his right ankle. It tells us exactly what's going on. We have this need, this urge to find out exactly what's going on about our athletes now. It's not enough to say Tommy John's going to have surgery at Cedars-Sinai and that's all. Right? What were reactions? Well, they were clearly exploratory. Theo Epstein says it's extreme. Schilling's referred to as a guinea pig. Right? That's a huge shift from 1974. And then, as the papers put it, you've heard of Tommy John elbow surgery? Get ready for Curt Schilling ankle surgery, right? Now we're going to have this be a thing. All right, Bartolo Colon. You guys heard about his stem cell procedures, I'm sure, right? This is what I'm talking about with medical tourism. He had to go to the Dominican Republic in order to get this done. Okay, same search terms, different years. This only yielded 26 results. But if we go to 2011, when Bartolo starts pitching again, we get 446. So in 2010, when he has the surgery, we're similar numbers to Tommy John, but in 2011, we get not quite Curt Schilling numbers, but a good number. Real experimental frames are used in these articles. A last career resort, exciting history, a minor miracle, right? Could change all of sports medicine. Again, it's described as controversial. And now we'll move on to everyone's favorite player. Just kidding, Alex Rodriguez in the hospital bed. So in 2011, I'm sorry, there's an extra zero there. I just saw that. Alex Rodriguez has surgery. He has two of them. He has a normal knee surgery in Miami, and then he has an experimental procedure done in Germany. So Alex Rodriguez in surgery gives us 1,288 results. So an exam Friday showed a slight tear in the cartilage, and right, we want to know everything there is to know about A-Rod. We cannot get enough information about him. We have to know every single detail. Right, when as expected, there were no complications. That's about his traditional surgery. So now what about orthokine, right? And that is, I'm not a doctor, so I can't really explain it, but in layman's terms, apparently they take your blood and they spin it in a centrifuge and then they put it into your knee and it's supposed to help prevent arthritis, right? That's as medical as I can get, all right? So when I searched for Alex Rodriguez and the specific name of this medical procedure, I only got 23 results, and I thought that was really interesting. 12 of the 23 came from New York news outlets, Rodriguez playing with the Yankees at the time. No articles actually mentioned the term medical tourism, and I thought, well, that's really weird, because Alf Rodriguez went to Germany specifically to have this experimental medical procedure done. He did have the okay from Major League Baseball and the okay from the Yankees, but he had to go to Germany in order to have this done because it's too experimental here in the United States. The FDA would not approve it. And interestingly, Kobe Bryant had had this done earlier, and 21 of the 23 articles mentioned Kobe Bryant. So I think that's an important thing to think about when we're looking at frames, all right? The celebrity culture, the need to mention Kobe Bryant over any other thing you could possibly use in the space, all right? That's the selection and the emphasis part of framing. All right, clearly experimental, right? It's not believed to be approved in this country or Canada. It's apparently fairly simple, but too crazy for me. I'll be a doctor, but not that kind of doctor. New media's actually provided a lot of information. There's blogs all over. We figure out what it is. They put it in layman terms for us, and we see this is a crazy change from what happened with Tommy John when I can only find 20 things about him. All right? So why have we seen this change? Like I said, it's not maybe that we see a change in the types of frames like I had initially hypothesized. What we're seeing is a much different way this is covered, which is very interesting and really important to examine from a communications and baseball perspective. So why, I'm thinking, might this have happened? Well, our mass media has changed so dramatically. Before, in 1974, when Tommy John had his surgery, it was okay. We could wait until the next day to find out what was going to happen. Now, I have a 24-hour news cycle. If I don't have something from Twitter as soon as John Lester gets traded, I'm going to freak out. So that's one reason why we might see this change. There are implications here for other sports, right? So Peyton Manning, who is my favorite football player, he went overseas in order to have stem cells, very similar to what A-Rod did, put into his neck. You take the stem cells out of the fat cells and you inject them in another part of your neck. It was described as truly bizarre. So again, we have these kind of experimental frames that we're looking at. And I think that we might be able to see how public perception about regular people, you and I, getting these experimental procedures will change by looking at how the athletes are portrayed in the media. There are a lot of ethical questions here, right? So this is my field. I study sport ethics. At what point is an experimental surgery seen as an unfair advantage? I know I've heard this question a lot in golf. If Tiger Woods goes and gets LASIK, does he somehow have an unfair advantage? What's the difference between Bartolo Colon doing what he did with or without HGH? Is he still getting this unfair advantage? And you know, you see Bartolo play over the past few years, and it's hard not to say yes. Another question is, are these surgeries going to encourage others to engage in medical tourism? When I see that Bartolo can suddenly pitch so much better, but he can't have a procedure done here, if I'm trying to get that next step up, am I going to go to the Dominican Republic in order to have something like that done? Kind of like the author suggested, we've heard about Tommy John surgery, get ready for Schilling ankle surgery. Are we going to get ready for Alex Rodriguez knee surgery and Bartolo Colon shoulder surgery and Peyton Manning neck surgery? So now we have new big picture questions. Why aren't traditional media using proper terminology like medical tourism? We're going to talk about things and be so concerned that I know every single part of every single thing that happens to A-Rod and happens to Bartolo Colon. Why can't I use proper terminology? Why is Kobe Bryant's influence so important to the reader? Is this athlete endorsement somehow a positive frame? Would it be different if it was a less liked athlete? So if Kobe Bryant and it was somebody who maybe didn't have such a huge following and A-Rod listened to him instead? Or what if A-Rod suggested it to someone else now? That doesn't make for a very good headline, does it? A-Rod encourages so-and-so to go get orthokine. I don't think we're going to react the same way. And so Is Kobe Bryant's opinion more important than these medical doctors? It seems to me, based on the frames and from a communicative perspective, the answer is yes. So directions for future research. What I'd like to do is move from a content analysis to an experiment. In order to do that, I'd like to provide participants a news article with information about these experimental surgeries. The only thing I'd like to change is the name of the person getting it done. So in one article, Peyton Manning is an example, or Bartolo Colon, or Alex Rodriguez, right? So we look at them and we say, okay, so-and-so got this done. In other conditions, it's Coral Marshall got this done. Nobody knows who I am. Are people going to react differently to this surgery because an athlete is getting it? And is that a way that we can predict, which was my initial question, how these surgeries will be perceived in the future? As I mentioned, I couldn't find that data exactly in my content analysis, but I think I found some good clues to be able to get this experiment going. And that is the end. I think I have about 4 minutes left. I can yield to questions if anybody has any. Hopefully they're not about how medical procedures are done, because I cannot answer that for you.
If you do have a question, please frame the question in the form of a question.
What about LASIK surgery?
Right. Well, I think that that's an interesting question. I think we can look at that, and that wasn't baseball, so I didn't cover it specifically, because I would argue that Tiger Woods is the athlete most widely recognized for having done LASIK procedure, and you know, you're free to disagree with me, but I would say Tiger Woods getting the LASIK procedure really got a lot of people thinking about it and doing it. And I think that yes, having Tiger Woods as that celebrity endorsement definitely helped LASIK get to be more popular. I'm still scared to death over LASIK surgery, so I won't get it myself no matter who gets it, but I think that largely in the mass media and in amongst popular communication scholars, we could probably find a pattern there. So I think that's interesting.
I think what I'm wondering about is that LASIK surgery seems to be accepted by the public, but PPE usage is not.
Right, well, and that's...
And LASIK surgery is
right.
Giving ball players 20/12 vision.
Right, and I think that that's an important question to ask. Where do experimental surgeries draw the line between being accepted and being considered cheating? I haven't found where that line is yet. If there's somebody who knows more about HealthCom and wants to help me research that, I'd be happy to do that.
I just have a question about the thing you talked about, if athletes get certain surgeries out of the press. How is that different than celebrity endorsements, just a price? Like, if Kobe Bryant
right.
endorses Country Time Lemonade, are we more likely to get it? Why?
Right.
That's got to be related somehow to the surgery.
You know, I would say that it is, and that's where I have a very broad sort of question, and my dissertation will hopefully help me answer this a little better in, you know, 6 months. But I do think that they're very similar. I think that somebody going to get this experimental procedure done and then having the mass media cover it and them say it went very well is akin to a celebrity endorsement. I would argue that.
The only things really, and the time you had to get about the whole 24-hour masking cycle, the only thing is just really all about keeping these people's names in the news. ESPN and other sources, of course, are sponges for information. So therefore, if Kirk Jones has a surgery, Dave Mann has a surgery, Kobe Bryant has a surgery, it's all about news. And in light of that, you could say you could go back and look at the O.J. Simpson Ford Bronco driving his streets in Los Angeles, or whatever you want to talk about. Isn't really just news being made or created to feed all the news outlets that are out there?
Well, I think that's sort of what I find very interesting about this, and it wasn't, I guess, what I initially had expected to find. That yes,
it used to be okay for us to wait for 24 hours to get that news, so we didn't need 2,000 articles on Tommy John's elbow. Now we need 2,000 articles on Curt Schilling's ankle, because it's a very chicken or egg argument. Do we want it because we can get it, or do we get it because we want it? And we can debate that all day long. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Laura.